Welcome to the Citygate Church podcast. Today's message was recorded at our live Sunday services, and we hope that it encourages you to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference.
Come on, just a little bit more for Jesus. All right. God, you are amazing. And there's none like you. None compares to you. None stands against you. You're big. And you're mindful of us, even in the minute places. So God, we thank you for what you've already established in this day, in this room, and in this people. And we give you the glory for it. Come on, one more time. Give him praise. Give him praise. You can take a seat. You can take a seat. Ah, my God, I feel so honored to be here. As Pastor said, we've had relationship now for many years. And I can tell you that's a bit of a rare thing. You don't necessarily find people who are of like spirit, kindred heart, that you can connect and that visions are very, very similar. But I'm walking through this room. I walked all the way to the back while the kids were still in here. And my mind is blown at what God has done here. And it's amazing. I don't know if you're aware that this is not just a typical, usual, normal thing that's even happening around the globe. Something special is happening in this place. And you're a part of it. And I think you ought to give God praise for that because it's pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah. We love your pastors. They were just with us last week, and Pastor Jay blew it up. Our people were like, what? Come on now. So I'm going to jump in. I got a little bit of a word today. I think we've been in a series at our church. The series is called It's Our Time to Fly. Yeah, and I think that is a universal word, and I believe that that's not just for now, church, but that's also for Citygate. And my message title, if you're a note taker, my message title is called Bird's Eye View. And the concept comes from, I found out that in 1755, the Oxford Dictionary, did I say that all right? That's all I got. Sorry, y'all. That's all I can do for you. But the Oxford Dictionary coined the phrase in 1755. And it said that when the phrase was coined, you got to understand that there were no airplanes, there was no aviation, there was no drones. So when we're talking about this concept of bird's eye view, it means this. It is the phrase that describes the act of stepping back from a situation, from the details, from a complex problem, stepping back so you can see the big picture. There's a phrase and a statement, I don't know if it's applicable here, I think it is, but have you ever heard the statement that says you can't see the forest because of the trees? You ever heard that? That concept of having everything right here, and so you miss what's up here. And so I believe that a part of what God's encouraging us as the body of Christ to do is to literally get out of the weeds of our lives and pull ourselves up to a heavenly perspective. The verse that we're going to use in part today is in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. In the Message Bible, it says this. Then they'll say, come, let's climb God's mountain and go up, say up, and go up to the house of God of Jacob. And when you go up to the house of God, the God of Jacob, when you go up to the high places, the Bible says in this passage that he'll show us the way that he works so we can live the way that we were made to live. That's a great verse. The concept is simply this, that when you are connecting yourself to something that's bigger than you, greater than you, higher than you, the Bible's saying that when you connect to that thing, God has the ability and the desire to show you how you were made, why you were made, and how you function in the way that he's made you. Now, in Matthew chapter 4, and I'm just going to really paraphrase for the sake of time this morning, but if you're a note taker, I also want you to write this down. The high places are significant because this, high places are the setting for revelation and decisions. Let's say it again. When we're talking about getting out of what's right in front of you and coming to a high place, it's a place where God can release revelation, and then you get a chance and an opportunity to make the decisions based on the revelation that you've been given. Now, I want to give you guys an example. So for me, this message is important because God gave me a literal example in my personal life that helped me to understand the importance of not just living in low levels, but being willing to fly, as it were. So when I was 19 years old, God gave me an opportunity, some cool stuff that happened, but all of the opportunity was contingent upon me being willing to get in an airplane and to fly. And I was terrified. And I'd never seen anything outside of the borough or the city or the state that I was in. And I was nervous to fly. And at 18, or I think it was 19 actually, at 19 years old, I felt God say to me, and I'm telling you, it wasn't an audible voice, but it was about as clear as I'm talking to you right now. I knew that I knew that I knew that God had given me a word of the Lord. And what he promised me was that anytime I got on an airplane, I would never have to be nervous, because he had made a promise to me that flying was going to be a part of my future and I never had to worry about it. You know how good news that is when you're flying and there's turbulence in the air? Thank you. When you're flying overseas and your plane is rocking, I go back to, but God, you told me when I was 19. I love the promise so much that when I book my ticket and the people who are standing around me, I say, do you know how blessed you are to be on my flight today? I tell them, I walk on a plane all cocky like, this is my plane, man. I'm like, I own the thing. Because that's, how many of you know that's the power of a promise of God, though? When you've got a word from the Lord, and you got something that you know God spoke to you, and you can stand on that thing, you know the confidence you have when stuff comes against you? So I had the promise of God that I would not be nervous on a plane. So I've been flying across the world, and I realized that the perspective that I have when I'm in a plane is so different than it is when I'm on the earth. In Matthew chapter 4, there's this story, and I said I'll paraphrase. There are three different temptations that Jesus is going to face. The three different temptations are significant. One of them represents a physical temptation, the body or the flesh. The second temptation represents the soul, and there was the opportunity to have pride come in. That's a whole other teaching for another day. And then the third temptation was also sort of connected to pride, but it was a spiritual temptation. And the interesting part about this entire passage in Matthew chapter 4 is this. We'll read a little bit of it. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, then Jesus was led, say, up. He was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Verse 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward, he was hungry. How many of you know that has got to be the greatest understatement in the history of the world? 40 days and 40 nights, and all you can say, you was hungry. At least say hungry. Don't just say hungry. Never mind. Did you know what that means? So he was hungry. And the Bible says that he was led up to be tested. Look down at the next one. Verse 5. It says, then the devil took him, Jesus, say up. Up into the holy city. He set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you're the God, throw yourself down. We know this. Most of you will know this passage, I hope. But basically every time, here's the thing. Every time that the enemy came to our Savior with a temptation, he used the word of the Lord. He used the power of God. He used the promises that God had spoken to him, his own father had spoken to him. It's a little bit different even than first service, because I'm reminded that the power of a promise, there's so much authority that comes when you know God has spoken something to you. Do you know that you can't be moved off of your post when you know that the Spirit of God has directed you in a certain way? Do you know some of the challenges that we face in our lives and the things that we go through and the temptations that we have to fall into certain circles or categories? Do you know that when the word of the Lord is on you and you're founding everything on what his word is saying, there's a power that comes in that. The third temptation we talked about was worship. But here's the thing. So before Jesus is in this set of temptations, you got to understand that the next thing that was going to happen in his life is he was getting ready to move into his full-time ministry. And when we talk about you're going forward and the church is advancing and God is doing something new and different in this place and the Spirit of God is moving like never before, and I look out and I see the faces of people, most of whom I don't know how long you've been here, what your timing is. I don't know what your connection to God was or is or will be. But when I tell you that life is so easy to get lost and caught in the weeds that you miss the big picture. And I'm encouraging you by the Spirit of God. I'm encouraging you through this word of the Lord. When Jesus went to the high places, it gave him an opportunity to get revelation so that he then could make decisions. In our church, in our city, in our nation, there's been so much turmoil. There's been things happening. I know it's all over the globe. And the reality is, I am very, very comfortable in being who God called me to be. I want you to get this. I told this story first, I'm gonna say it again. So in the States, a lot of times there's this dividing line. And sometimes it's from your economics, sometimes it's color, come on, sometimes it's politics, sometimes it's whatever it is. There's all these different places and divisions that go on. And so I believe that God very strategically placed me in the spot that he had me in my entire life as a young little kid. I grew up in a situation that was an all, in my place, in our church, it was an all black church. All black faces. Now in America, an all black church means a whole different thing maybe than here. Anybody know what a Hammond B3 organ is? You might have heard the preachers go, and the Lord said, and the God's going to move. You ever seen that? Yeah, the whole thing. You might do a little bit of that tonight. I don't know. That's all black church. That's how I grew up. I literally grew up. I was the drummer when I was like 8, 9 years old. I had a little afro and the whole thing. Right? But that's where I grew up. So then I left that church and ended up going when I was about 13, 14 to what ended up being literally, except for this guy, it was all white church. Yeah. And so the experience was different. Not right, not wrong, just different. You tracking? And so because of those worlds kind of colliding inside of me, I've always had this passion that I'm not basing my experience and my life and my posturing and my digging in on something that I've lived in. Check this. I'm not basing my belief system on the church I was raised in. I'm gonna say it again. I'm not basing it on the things that my culture said I'm supposed to like or dislike. Come on, man. I don't base it on those things. There's a scripture, I forgot to look it up between services. Somebody might know where it is, but it talks about where he says that in the kingdom of God, there's neither Jew nor Greek, right? Nor slave, nor free, nor male, nor female. But the foundational principle of everything we live on is, who is Jesus? Is Jesus in the center? Is Jesus the focus? Jesus, he's above. In the States, man, he is above my nationality. I'm going to say it again. Jesus is who I identify with. That's the first check mark on my box. Jesus. Jesus, the one who has the power and the ability to change us. Jesus, the one who I've watched transform lives. Jesus, who I had a chance to have an experience with as a six-year-old on an altar in a black church. Jesus, who I had the chance to receive my heavenly prayer language in a white church. I don't know why I'm hitting this so hard. But Jesus was consistent all the way across the board. Come on, somebody. Jesus. And why I'm so passionate about it is because I think a lot of times when I'm talking about this power of perspective and getting outside of being afraid to fly, some of you, God is challenging you to fly. It's your time to fly, not just my time, not just Now Church, not just City Gate as a whole, but your personal time to fly. It's your opportunity to say, God, I might be afraid of what I haven't seen or experienced before or I'm not used to, but God, I see in the big picture, if I'll just take the step and get on that plane, proverbially, that you can take me to places I would have never been. Oh, I feel him even in this room. Oh, Jesus, what do you want to do in people's lives? We're watching our church right now begin to go through a season where there's great momentum, and we were, I would say even as recently as a couple years ago, we were pressing, but I won't say stuck, but maybe it's some stuck. And we've been just leaning into God. And our pastor's passion after 35 years of doing it. By the way, I love my pastor so much. I so respect them. I honor them. I thank God for the consistency and the faithfulness that they've shown for this long. And for the desire for us to continue to fly. The word of the Lord for us has been, why not us? Why not now? Why not us? Why not a group of people who've lasted? Why not a group of people who've made a decision through every storm, every fad, every phase of life and ministry, and churches come and go, and music changes, and things change, and technology change? Why not? Why couldn't God work through us? And I'm saying, why couldn't God work through City Gate? Why not? Why not you? Why not you be the ones who are literally helping to usher in the revival, the reformation, whatever you want to call it, in this nation? Why not you? Why not this church? Why not a couple who have sown their lives and stayed consistent and faithful and still love each other, I think, right? I know they do. Yeah, he made it clear. Why not you? Why can't this place be that place where God just decides, I'm going to do something special because they've decided to not look here, but to look here? The bird's eye view, the perspective. There's two verses I want to close with. Verse number one, the first one is, it's in John chapter 6, verse 40. And it's a really cool passage. Again, we won't go all into it, but ultimately, you find that Jesus uses the word see, S-E-E, about 160-something times in the Bible. So when God uses something that specifically, that often, how many of you know he's trying to make a point? So when Jesus uses that verse see, the word see, he says in verse 40, and this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees, say sees, everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. When we're talking about seeing, we're not just talking about with our physical eyes. We're talking about being able to see something that's beyond just what's in the natural. We're talking about having a bird's eye view. We're talking about the spiritual component of being able to look beyond your barriers. I keep saying that. God, help us to see beyond our self-imposed barriers. It's all I've ever known. It's all I've ever seen. This is how my family was. This is what I'm used to. This is what my experience has been. If you can see beyond that, I'm telling you, there is no limits to what God can do in your life. And so Jesus says here, anyone who sees me is going to have everlasting life. Anyone who says, God, beyond all the stuff, can I see you, Jesus? Jesus, can you be the center of what I'm doing and focusing after? You know the beautiful thing about having been able to experience different cultures, different nations, different regions of the earth? It's crazy to me because there's so many times where the language barrier is thick. We went to the Philippines and very, very few people spoke English. I went to Brazil, and ain't nobody speak English. This is before, all the technology and stuff. But you know the amazing part of it is when you get into a space and you literally focus your attention on Jesus, the power of the unity that happens in that space. I've seen God's presence manifest in places that none of us knew what the other one was saying. But we knew Jesus was being exalted. Oh, Jesus. One last verse. Can you put it up and I'll just read it from the screen? The last verse is in some place in the Bible. Where is it at? I don't even remember where. Second Peter verse 3. No, chapter 3. You know what I'm saying. Let's read it together. The last verse it says, don't overlook the obvious here, friends. With God, one day is as good as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. Here's where I'm going to land. God isn't late concerning his promises. Some of you who feel like you're waiting and you don't know where he's at and he forgot your name and lost your address. God's not late in his promises. He knows what he has for you. He knows what he wants you to experience, when and how. He's not late in his promises as some measure lateness. He is, I hope you get this. The God of the universe, the Bible says, he's restraining himself on your account. In other words, he's saying, man, they got some stuff they got to get fixed up. They got some ways of thinking that they need to shift and adjust. And in my righteousness and in my graciousness, he says he's restraining himself on account of you. He's holding back the end because he doesn't want, and here's the part we're going to land on, anyone to be lost. He doesn't want anybody to come in with a preconceived notion and idea and limitation of who he is, of what God is, of what the church is, of what you can be. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. And he's giving you space right here, right now, right today. He's giving you space and time to adjust perspective and to change. I was afraid to get on that plane. I shudder to think what I would have missed If I would just kept looking here, you know, my family tried to talk me out of my first flight. Do you know that? Because they had never seen it. They never flown. They never been around. They tried to tell me, boy, you crazy, get on that plane. That's how my mama talked, because she from down south, Mississippi. Country black woman. Baby, you get on that plane? Yeah, mama, I'm getting on that plane. Because God said, yeah, you imagine? I can't imagine what I would have missed if I didn't decide to change my perspective. Some of you, God is calling you to places and situations that you've never experienced in your lifetime. And I'm telling you, He doesn't want any of you to be lost. And He's given everyone the space and the time to change. I gotta quit. Oh, I sense you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Hey, do you know this song, Scott? Can you take me to like maybe a C? But I'm gonna sing, Jesus at the center of it all. You guys know that? It's Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus at the center of it all. Yeah. It's Jesus at the center of it all. You're awesome, man. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Chief. Come on. You got a minstrel in this house, man. Chief. Last time. It's Jesus at the center of. He's bigger than your nationality. Jesus at. He's bigger than how much money you make. Oh, from beginning to, it'll always be, it's always been you, Jesus. That's who He is. One last time, sing Jesus at the center. It's Jesus at the center of. He's bigger than your family limitations. It's Jesus at. He's bigger than the church you came from. Oh God, from beginning to the end, it'll always be, it's always been you, Jesus. You know the bridge? Oh, you my man. From my heart, so from my heart, to the heavens, Jesus be the center. Come on, church, it's all about you. Yes, it is. Yes, it's all about. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. God is. Prophesy, Jesus be the center of your church. City Gate, we call you to it. Jesus be the center of your church. From beginning this room with every head bowed and every eye closed. Just a tad bit over, but Father, I thank you that this moment is precious and you're calling people to a place that you are first, you are center, you are bigger. You're desiring people to take the step and the leap, saying, God, I'll fly. I will fly. Give me the bird's eye view because that's where my perspective is different. God, you're drawing. I can feel you're drawing people right now in this room today. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you have not had the opportunity to make Jesus, to have the on-ramp into just having a relationship with him, maybe you're somebody who's been away from church or away from God, and maybe you knew him in a past season and you're not serving him and he's not the center right now. I'm calling you this morning in the name of Jesus. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed, because there's somebody in here that's about to make a revelation decision. You're coming to the high places, you're getting the revelation of who he is, and you're gonna decide to serve him like you've never served him before. If that's you, I want to see your hands all over this building. If that's you, lift up your hands now. I want to pray for you. Come on. I see you. Come on. If that's you, I see you. Come on. That's right. In the back. For the sake of time, everybody pray this. Just say, Jesus, I thank you for taking me to the high places. And I ask you to help me to see with eyes of the Spirit. And I thank you for revelation. And today, I make a decision. I put you first at the center of my life. Take away my sins. Wash me in your blood. Allow me to continue to grow in my relationship with you. And forever, I'll give you the praise. I'll give you the praise. Y'all do it then this morning. Come on, give him the praise. Give him the praise. Give him the praise.